right. Theme song. Give it some volume. And here we go. You're not going to say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions. Dobbledy-doo. Hey everybody, welcome to an episode of this show. I'm Pete, this is the show, and I'm a little hungover, because last night I went to see a rock band called Megadeth. It was fine. Okay, it's going to concerts as like an older man is so different from going to concerts as a younger man. Different, I think good different though, because we had these seats there on the floor, but we also, they were like, you get a wristband, so you go to your seats on the floor, but also if you want to just go to the pit area, you can. Which I was like, we'll see. But that is eventually what we did. Because I think what happened, because I've never been to a show where it was like that, where it's like you could be here or here. And I think what happened, though, is it looks like it wasn't like really sold out. You know, I don't want to say anything bad about my buddies in Megadeth, Papa Dave and the others. But it was like, I don't know. Not as full as maybe I thought it would be. So, you know, you get there and then you're standing, and we're standing in the pit area, but it's not like it was, we weren't fighting for our lives or even anything close to it. We were just kind of standing there, and you had actually a pretty good amount of room around you. It wasn't like you were packed in or anything. There was this fucking guy behind us, though, who kept like, you know, touching our arms and stuff like that, me and my friend who went, and sort of being like, yeah, this is a great song, you know, and kind of like trying to do like bro hugs and stuff, which it was fucking annoying because I was like, I don't know this guy, but also he had this really dumb Trump shirt on that was like Trump 2024, and it was like, I'm voting for the felon or something like that, and I was just like, it's I'm not like a highly political person. I'm not like, you and I could never be friends because you like Donald Trump. But I am like, you and I can never be friends because I'm annoyed that you're coming here and like putting that out in the world, because, I'm just like, we don't need that. You know what I mean? Like, do we need that? And the only reason you do that is because you want to like engage with people about it, right? Or you want, I don't know. I think you either want other people to come up and be like, right on, bro, or you want people to like get pissed off about it, which is like fine. Well, it's not fine. It's annoying because it's like the whole theme of going to this as an older man was like making it's not about you when you become an older man. When you go to a concert, you're like not, I watched people in the pit, and because we were just a couple rows removed from the pit, it was actually kind of perfect because we were far enough away that it's not like anyone's crashing into you or anything's happening, but close enough that you could see it pretty clearly. And, you know, it's these guys running around in a circle, knocking into each other and stuff. Classic mosh pit stuff. Didn't seem like anything crazy going on. But I was just like, you know, because, you know, you think about it, right? You're like, should I go in the mosh pit? Because I, of course, as a younger man, a couple times I was in a couple mosh pits. And, you know, I was like, no, because like as an older man, the first thing I think about is like, if I get some kind of injury, like serious injury, it's not going to have been worth it. Do you know what I mean? It's like the fun that I would have in the mosh pit is not going to be equal to the, you know, recovery from an injury of some kind. I mean, like, not worth it. It didn't seem worth it. The risk reward was out there, especially because I was like, I mean, actually being in a mosh pit is not something that I super, it's not like something that I super enjoy. You know what I mean? It's not like something that I've been craving forever. It was something I did like as a young man at concerts, mostly because like some of the friends I went with wanted to. And I was like, I guess I'll try it. But I was like, I didn't really know what it was or how it worked. And then when I did it, I was like, I don't know. That was kind of terrifying for me, to be honest. And everybody's like, you know, I know that in the mosh pit, people aren't getting punched in the face and stuff. Although it seemed like that was maybe happening at one point. Although it also seemed like, well, I don't know if you could hear that thunder. But it was loud. But it seemed like somebody had gotten out of hand. But it seemed like in most of these cases, to me anyway, it kind of seems like when that happens, it's because one fucking idiot is being a fucking idiot, right? That seems to be usually the case. It's not so much about, man, this mosh pit, everybody in here is going crazy. It's like, no, one asshole went crazy and whatever. But that's the thing is, I'm like, well, I don't want to be, you know, the victim of that one asshole. It doesn't seem worth it. But yes, this guy was like wearing this shirt, but he kept like touching me and touching my friend and touching other people. And I think he was super wasted. I think he spilled some beer on us at one point. I hope that's what happened. So it's like either he just like dropped a beer and it kind of splashed all over, or he did a spit take for some reason. Either any which way you look at it, you know, like, I don't know. Pretty bad. It was just he's being fucking annoying. And, you know, I think that's like what annoys me is people like that who are like trying to assert themselves, like they're like, I want to be the center of attention at this concert. And I'm like, dude, nobody paid to see you. Nobody came because you're here. Nobody's facing towards you. No, you'll notice that every time you came up and touched me, I was facing away from you and really didn't converse with you because it's loud as fuck. Like, you can't have a conversation. But also, I was just like, leave me alone. And yeah, it's not even about the politics of, you know, this guy, although that's not my favorite thing. It was more about like the kind of person who would wear that to that kind of event. Because I've always found like concerts, the best ones are fun because, like, I don't know, it's kind of like a togetherness moment. You know what I mean? It's a little bit of like a, let's forget about the rest of the world and politics and like the environment and, you know, these horrible things going on. And instead, let's have a good time. And I'm not saying that it's like, you know, oh, yeah, none of those things matter anymore because I saw fucking Megadeth. You know, they played Symphony of Destruction and I'm like, well, the world is fixed now for me anyway. I'm just saying, I think the point of a concert is usually kind of to forget about that stuff, unless the band is, I suppose, Rage Against the Machine, probably. Maybe, to a lesser extent, System of a Down, depending on whether Serge or Darren or Chavo, whoever is kind of like leading the charge. I gather one of them is more interested in being a rock star, while the other is more apt to talk about Armenian genocide. So I suppose it would depend on what kind of show you had found yourself signed up for. But yeah, so the people in the pit, I was like, oh, that does seem, because, and then there's a couple guys in the mosh pit too with no shirt on, and I'm like, really? Is there really a good reason to not be wearing a shirt? And if the answer is like, well, my shirts get all fucked up in the mosh pit, I'd be like, well, maybe you shouldn't be in the mosh pit then. I don't think the answer is being topless. You know, I don't know. I mean, this is the thing is like, there's a big plus minus happening in my life right now, because I am noticing, you know, most of the bands I go to see, I'm starting to phase into the part of life where if you go see a band, you know, and then you look them up, you're like, oh my God, this guy's like in his 60s. And so you're like, well, okay. And then also most of the audience to the bands I go to are probably guys. And that's nothing new. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm like hoping, I guess I'm hoping that in some ways the audience mellows out and in some ways doesn't mellow out, you know? It's like, I want them to mellow out when I'm like looking at, there was these young people in front of us and I was like, oh, that's cool. There's these young people, probably like their early 20s. They spent like the whole time smoking weed, like the whole time. And it seemed like they were consumed with just making sure they didn't get caught by security, because they were smoking an actual like lit with fire joint, which I was like, that's fucking insane. In 2024, why are you doing that? Like, I'm not like vaping is awesome and cool, but I'm like, I mean, so much easier to get away with. So much easier. Just seems, vaping practically seems like it was invented for concerts. You know what I mean? Just so simple to do and not get caught. And it's like, are you smoking a joint just because it's like, I want to know why, you know? Because I guess I could see, too, I don't know if it's like your regular practice is smoking joints. You don't normally vape. I mean, I don't really, it doesn't bother me either way. You know, sometimes people are like, vaping is so much better for you. And I'm like, I mean, you're sucking on something that's heated up by a battery. And it's still not like good for you. Even though, you know, and it's like, well, maybe it's better for you than smoke. I really don't know. But let's just say this. I don't think it's like vaping is like the incredible health benefits of vaping. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, I don't think if you're regularly smoking weed, is it really going to be much of a problem? Because you're like, well, I vaped this time. Plus, dude, eat it. Eat the marijuana and then get there. It's so much. That is the way. Okay. Speaking as someone who has never done that, but if I had to be high at a concert, that would be the way. Cause I'd be like, well, I can eat it like a couple of hours before. And then, you know, by the time the headliner hits, I'm probably going to be pretty stoned, but pleasantly so. Anyway, Megadeth was fine. It was funny because we looked up the openers and it was Mudvayne and someone called All That Remains, who I'd never heard. And my concert buddy was like, I want to see All That Remains. And it looks like they've been going on first every show. So I was like, well, I guess we'll have to go see them. Neither of us were particularly interested in Mudvayne. I mean, I was like, I like one song of theirs from 2005 called Dig. And I listened to some more and was like, oh, yep. I'm confirming for myself, I'm pretty sure that's the only song I like. So we get there just in time, we sit down, and the first song, you know, they start playing, and I was like, well, this is Mudvayne, because that song is Dig. Unless All That Remains is for some reason covering Mudvayne's biggest hit. So anyway, we saw like the whole thing. And even though we didn't really intend to. But yeah, like Megadeth, Dave Mustaine is like in his 60s. You know, he's like an older guy. And you're just, I don't know, it's getting weird because I'm at the part of life where I'm starting to understand my parents, because like your parents' generation, like they would be like, oh my God, did you hear so-and-so died? They'd be like, did you hear Bob Hope died or something? And they'd be like, oh man, that's terrible. And I'd be like, the fuck, man, like who cares? And then you get older and you're like, oh, now I get it. Because like when somebody dies, it's someone that they saw on TV for hours or in a million movies or made a bunch of records. Whereas like when you're young, someone being dead is kind of the exception to the rule, I guess. You know, it's like a Kurt Cobain or something. And even then, I think you know, when you're young and Kurt Cobain dies, you're not, it's not the same as when you're older. And then it's like, I don't know who I'm trying to, I don't want to curse someone and name someone specific, but you're like, oh, and you kind of always think of like rock stars as these like young, brash people or something. And then you're like, oh yeah, I guess like, you know, okay, here we go. Green Day. Let's see how old the Green Day guys are. You know what I mean? You think of them as like kind of asshole young punks. Yeah, he's 52. Now, that's not old. That's not like he's an old grandpa or some shit. But you're like, I mean, he's not young. Trey Cool is 51, the drummer. Mike Durnt is 52. He looks old as hell. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. It's like a little sad. So today's episode, I'm just going right into it. I was thinking what would be fun is I would like to look at some of the reviews of my books. Because, I don't know. I don't know why. I just thought that would be a fun thing to do. And, you know, we can talk about them. So here's some funny things you might not know about being a Goodreads author is that you have like an author dashboard, right? And all your books are on there and you kind of have a public profile. But it doesn't do things like it doesn't tell you when someone reviews your book. And I kind of get it because I think what they want people to not do is like jump on and like argue with people in the reviews and stuff, which I think is simple. Because Goodreads, all you really need to do here is be like, you basically can't comment on reviews of your own books. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, I know people would make a fake account and do it anyway, but, meh, you know, whatever. But, I don't know, because I just never check it anymore, because it's like, the problem with this kind of stuff is it's like everything in life, right? You have 1,000 interactions with someone that are great, or you do like 1,000 nice things, and then you do like one thing that's not so nice, and that's the one that's going to haunt you and stick with you for the rest of your life. Every quiet moment you get, you'll be like, remember when you did that thing? I was talking to Poon Master Flex about something recently, and I was like, I don't want to do this, and I think I'm not going to, but I feel like it makes me a bad person. And she was like, do you really think that way? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, so all the good things you've done in your life, you know, all the times you've helped someone out or like volunteered or like, you know, just been generally a good and caring and nice person, you feel like doing one thing that you perceive as selfish undoes all of that. And I was like, yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I see it. But, and the reviews on Goodreads work the same way. And that's why I don't look at them very often, because it's like, yeah, I mean, I can get like a bunch of good ones. Well, I guess in theory I could get a bunch of good ones. I don't actually know if my books ever get a bunch of good ones, but you get one bad one and then you're like, fuck. You know what I mean? Now, I think I may have looked at some of these before on here, but so I'm going to just kind of do some newer-ish ones or whatever. Because we'll start with Pete's exhaustive review of Modelland, which is the you're probably familiar with from this podcast. I think I read the whole thing out loud on this show at one point. And then, yeah, you're probably just familiar. But if you're not, this was, I read the book Modelland by Tyra Banks. It's like 500 pages long. And I wrote like a 50,000 word review of it because it's one of the craziest things I've ever read. It's pretty awesome, though. So anyway, let's see what people had to say. Melly gives me 5 stars. Very nicely done, Melly. This man has provided a valuable service to mankind by summarizing over 500 pages of bugfuck insanity, as well as analyzing it from a literary standpoint in such a way as to be a pretty good resource for writers. That's like that's one of the kindest things anyone has ever said about doing this. And I don't want to say that Melly's wrong, but maybe is looking into this a little deeper than I intended. This is my Shakespeare moment, where like Shakespeare comes back from the past and is like, sees all the scholarship done on his work and is like, sure, yeah, I meant that. Many, many times I was halfway convinced that he was making it all up. Okay, when I heard that Tyra Banks had written a novel called Modelland, I imagined that it was a thinly veiled autobiography. But no, every step of the way, it seems, her book is loaded to the nuts with weird stuff. All night long, all night strong. So weird that I'd be worried about her if she wasn't worth $90 million, which she is. Hilarious, bizarre, informative, you need this exhaustive review in your life. Well, that was a nice one. We're starting off strong here. These first ones are actually looking pretty good. Yeah, but you see how this is like, this is an insight into, you know, inside the head of the writer, right? Because I'm like, you know, I think she's giving me too much credit. And here's... She's saying nice things about like, oh, this is kind of informative on storytelling. And I'm like, okay, now you've gone too far. Obviously, I'm an idiot because I did Pete's exhaustive review of Modelland. Eva gives me a 4 out of 5, which is a little annoying because she does 4 out of 5 stars and then puts in the fraction, you know, 4 out of 5. Jeez, big thunder. And I'm guessing this is because Eva probably does like 0.5s and stuff like that, which is kind of my Goodreads pet peeve. Because I don't really think a 10-point scale is reasonable. I think 5 is much better. Because it's really, it's very simple in my mind. 1 is like a piece of shit. You know, I regret reading it, but I did. 2 is not good, but also not painful in a way that it's like I'll never forget. It was kind of just like forgettable, not great. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't, but whatever. I would say 3 is good, and you're like, that's a good book. I liked it. I don't have a ton to say about it. You know, I don't have strong feelings about it, but it was good. 4 is like very good, and 5 is like, you know, Blood Meridian or whatever. Anyway, this is some hilarious stuff right here. Pete read Modelland, so I didn't have to. Honestly, I don't know how I found this, but one time I was reading the reviews of a Goodreads peep, and I could not stop laughing because she gives the best burns. And she burned this book, and then I proceeded to read the other reviews, and then I found this. So I guess I do know how I found it. I love this, because this is what my book reviews are like as well. Kind of meandering, and I'm like, I don't know how I found this, and then I explained how I found it, and then I'm like, oh, I guess I do. Anyway, there's some language and a few somewhat inappropriate similes. You know what? I don't fully remember, but seems highly likely. But I could not stop laughing. I do not want to read the actual Modelland, but I also kind of do. But only with friends. This ain't no journey to take alone, it sounds like. And she tagged it with the pretty dash fantastic tag. So that's pretty good. Yeah, I would say like if you were reading Modelland in a book club, that might be kind of fun. But reading it in any other, just reading it solo, I don't know. I don't know if I recommend it. Here's the thing. I recommend reading Modelland if you want to write an exhaustive review of something that's really weird. But I don't know that I recommend it in any other context. This is from someone whose username is hashtag read all the books. This was hilarious, and honestly, I'm kind of morbidly curious about the source material now. Oh, see, this is the dark side of writing about Modelland. Because you, like, expose people to this thing, and when you're exposing people to it, you're like, how do I explain that this isn't fun, but it's also fun? Also, I'm calling it that C-L is Lizzie, because if you pronounce her name backwards, it's sort of like the name Lizzie sound-wise. And it's stupid and inexplicable enough to be something in Modelland. You know, I totally agree with that, Oh, and I commented on this review 7 months ago. I said, oh my god, I don't normally comment on reviews, but I couldn't let this pass me by. It's just so bonkers that it kind of has to be true. Even after all these years, this book continues to surprise me, not in good ways. I was going to say, too, because like Goodreads really discourages you from doing this. And I did chat with someone on Goodreads because he's read a few of my things, and he gave like a really nice review of something. And I mentioned something about it in the course of our conversation. And he was like, I think it's totally fine to say stuff on reviews if the review is super positive. And, you know, I was like, I see where you're coming from, and sometimes I want to, but other times I'm like, I don't want to comment on it and that, like, chill the other reviewers into thinking I'm going to read their thing. It's such a fine line, because, like, when you review stuff on Goodreads, it's like, well, the author can see it, and maybe they shouldn't comment on it, and they shouldn't. Let me tell you, if you're a Goodreads author, you shouldn't, and here's why. There have been a couple times I commented on someone's, or I reviewed someone's book, they commented back, and I was like, well, I'll never read another thing by that person. Because I'm just like, I don't know, man, like, you wrote a book, it wasn't very good. What do you want me to say? Okay. Dana gave it 5 stars. Possibly my favorite review of a trash book ever. Worth the read if you're ever curious about the Tyra Banks novel Modeland. The review made it entertaining, and I'm just glad I don't have to read the dang thing now. That's fair. That's fair. It is, in that way, a public service, right? You don't have to read Modeland. Not that anyone really had to before. But, you know, this is probably the better way. Okay, here's Alex H., who has put 3 stars, but then 2.75 stars. Okay. If you do quarter stars, so when you do half stars, that makes it a 10-point scale. And when you do quarter stars, that's a 20-point scale? And that is like way beyond the line for me. Because I'm like, explain to me the difference between a book that is a 17 out of 20 and a 18 out of 20. What's the difference? How could you possibly categorize them? The only way that this works, I think this like, even half star, I can just accept it because I'm like, it's 10. That's a round number. It's, you know, whatever. But quarter stars, I'm like, that's too much. The only way it works is I'm like, well, then you should just rate everything 1 to 5, but then divide it into as many decimal points as you have to. And so then what you're going to do is every book you've ever read has a rating. The best book you've ever read is 5, and everything down from that is, you know, 4.992, 4.993. And like, that's the only way it makes sense to me. And that's obviously crazy. But, you know, at least that way I'd be like, well, there's some kind of reason to do this. Okay. Alex says, 0.25 star deduction, depending on whether or not I actually paid money to have an inconsistently funny straight man explain the plot of this book to me. I'm already willing to wager that this will be the most obscure, quote, book shelved in my 2023 year in books. Am I an inconsistently funny straight man, as in, like, sexuality straight, or inconsistently funny straight man, as in, like, the straight man, you know, who's kind of there to illuminate the joke? I'm not sure. I actually don't know. I mean, I'm probably declared my sexuality at some point in this book, because I do feel that just seems possible, I guess, because it's like, well, you know, there may be aspects of this I don't really understand, but okay. But I guess also I feel that's odd. Because, like, I feel like the experience of reading Modeland really isn't, I don't know. It's not straight or gay. Like, it's asexual. It is pretty asexual, but, like, it's just so weird. I was talking to my mom about, she read some book that she didn't like, and she was reading it for a book club, and everyone in the book club liked it. And, you know, my mom was like, the plot was horrible, this was bad and everything. And I was like, yeah, sounds bad. Sounds like that book was bad. And then she started talking about how, like, you know, there's sort of this tone in the book because the characters have like unprotected sex, and that kind of makes it sexier in the context of the book. It's supposed to, I guess. And she was like very opposed to that. And I was like, well, all right. But like, sometimes I get into arguments like this with my older brother, where I'm like, you know, this book's a total piece of shit. Why would that part of it be good? You know what I mean? Why? It's not like you would be like, well, on the plus, it was very responsible in terms of the sexuality and whatever. It's like, no, you wouldn't give it that credit because like it still sucks. It's still horrible. You know, it's a total piece of crap and you don't really. Yeah, I think this is the thing. You don't have to come up with objective reasons that a book is bad. Do you know what I mean? It has bad morality and it's like, yeah, but I mean, you said like the plot sucks, the characters suck, the whole thing is stupid. It's like overwritten. It's twice as long as it needs to be. And I'm like, yeah, at that point, I don't really care if it's like, also, it's a little racially insensitive or something. I'm like, I mean, it's already in the grave and I've covered it up. And it's like, I don't need to, you know, I've buried my opinion on this book and it's in the past. And I'm like, I don't really need to like slap the corpse around more. It's not going to get any more dead. Let's see. Alex H. goes on for quite a while. This is incredibly niche content that I could really only recommend to a certain micro portion of the population. Maybe you're starting to understand this, Alex H. With that being said, I've been meaning to read this since watching the absolute batshit season finale of ANTM Cycle, where Tyra made the model shoot an absurd motion editorial for this book that made it seem like some cool circa 2010 dystopian novel. A cursory Goodreads search full of one-star ratings for her 500-plus page monstrosity quickly rerouted me to this seemingly much more manageable review. In an almost meta-reading experience, I had to repeatedly take breaks from this review of Model Land, similar to Pete's own journey through the source material. I don't want to rag too much on him when the title and intro expressly state that this is an exhaustive review of a book that was 350 pages too long to begin with, so yes, I definitely understand that actually crafting a half-sensical review requires quite a bit of summary, but my God, can this man beat dead horses. And mostly, they're his own jokes that are too often middle school boy humor, or page-long pop culture references where he loosely relates them back to Model Land 1,000 words and a couple dick jokes later. It's so funny because, like, this is a review that's, like, some negatives, but to me, I'm like, that's exactly what this was meant to be. Like, I don't know. It's funny when people, I feel like on Goodreads, for example, like, bad and good reviews are very informative. Because sometimes you read a bad review and someone says something like that, and I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for. That being said, I actually did quite enjoy some of his observations and a good portion of his wittier commentary. I don't like the idea that I had witty commentary. I'm going to need to go back through and make it less witty. Also, while tangential, if I was familiar with his references, I often found them quite funny. One of my favorite pastimes, is exposing sane people to Tyra Banks and watching how long it takes them to pull up the Human Rights Watch website to see if she's on it. She's without a doubt one of the most unhinged human beings to emerge from the early 2000s, and it does not surprise me in the slightest that her writing and compulsive need to rename things generated one of the worst books ever to exist. As a result, the most entertaining parts of this review were definitely his digs at Tyra. For example, quote, "If I had to create a subtitle for this book, the full title on the book's cover would be Model Land, The Time Nobody Told Tyra No." Based on this review, if I had to write an essay for an adjunct professor's English 340 class, I don't know why, I'd probably title it Model Land, How Pretty Privilege and Sheer Delusion Created the Anti-Chekhov's Gun. And that's about all I really learned from this multi-hour excursion into literary criticism. I think some stones are meant to be left unturned. Yeah, I don't totally disagree with that. It seems like maybe Alex thought that this was something a little different than it was. It's like, as much as Melly was like, it's got some good insights into writing, I think Alex was looking for something a little deeper than what this was. Which I was like, well, okay. Model Land is like a 1-foot deep pool. And I'm like, the analysis of it can't be 10 feet deep. It's going to be 2.5. this is someone named Gianluca Cameron. Gianluca Cameron, 1 star, you son of a bitch. Goodreads is like, don't comment on reviews. And I'm like, what if you do a whole podcast of them? Honestly, made Model Land sound somewhat interesting. A lot of it simply consisted of the guy getting annoyed whenever something strange or incomprehensible happened. Not that it seems like a good book, however. Reading this, I began thinking that Model Land sounded like it was crying out for a film adaptation. Oh, I'm sure that that was in the works. I think maybe Corrine or Yodorowsky. Okay. Essentially a book-length nostalgia critic review, coming from a very entertainment-focused perspective, which I guess makes sense for this project, as I doubt Model Land was striving for high art. I liked the part where he deconstructed the common moral of everyone being beautiful on the inside. However, I disagree with him that letting loose the floodgates regarding distribution has had a bad effect on culture. Sure, there's a lot more crap, but a fair amount of it is interesting crap made by passionate individuals with a unique sensibility rather than box-checking crap. It has always been the job of the consumer to sift through the mountain of crap. I do, of course, agree that selling your work for money opens you up to harsh criticism, however. Also, there were a couple spelling mistakes. Overall, I probably shouldn't have read this as it was incredibly unlikely to be my thing, and so my perspective is likely entirely useless. The impression this review gives of Model Land is of a book that utilizes surrealism to ultimately very tacky ends. I didn't really relate to the way this guy approached the book, nor did I share his sense of humor. However, if you enjoy the nostalgia critic style, then I suggest you check this out. Yeah, this is like, okay, I'm starting to see a theme develop, which is, I'm guessing that people looking for something deep don't like my books very much. Which is fine. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, that's fair. I can't argue with any of this. I do like surrealism, utilizes surrealism to ultimately very tacky ends. That is a good way to describe Model Land. Except it kind of makes it sound like maybe it's like a John Waters movie or something, and it's definitely not. It doesn't work. Here's Felipe P. 5 stars. What a great way to finish this year. Well, I'm so happy for you. Gotta be honest, I not only didn't know about the existence of Model Land, but I also had no idea who Tyra Banks was. Apparently she's a big deal. Well, that's weird. Now I know a lot more with this extensive review, which seems way more fun and interesting than the novel itself. I'm gonna agree with you on that. This review does a good job at trying to explain what the hell is happening in the novel and why nothing makes sense. People have stupid names and everything is just a mess. This is what happens when a celebrity gets the chance to write freely what they want, but they have almost no clue of how to tackle such an endeavor. So they just write gibberish. This is what happens when a podcaster can just make a podcast. Not fun to read gibberish, like watching a bad fun movie like The Room, but frustrating trash. For being a review, this book is quite insightful and offers more than complaining about Model Land. Glad I checked it out. Let's see if there's any more bad ones here. The only other one is a 3-star. I had more fun than I thought reading this. The best quarantine afternoon. Well, there you go. You're welcome, Oliver. Let's move on to a different book. So one of my newer books, The Heistest Heist Ever Heisted. This was a book I gave away a bunch of copies of. So a bunch of people have this on their to-read list because, you kind of have to in order to win, I guess. So what's funny is when you put a Goodreads review out, or a Goodreads giveaway, people will get it who don't really intend to get it. And so, because people go through the whole list and just put yes, 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 yes. You know what I mean? They're just like, yeah, I want everything that's on Goodreads giveaway. And that's how you end up with this. So the problem with a Goodreads giveaway, I'm just going to give everyone a little insight here, is the audience for them isn't discerning. And by that, I don't mean they're like not quality readers or quality people or something. What I mean is like a book like mine that's a goofy piece of shit about, like shitting in a specific way in order to unlock a toilet based vault. I think like you have to sort of read the summary of the book and know what you're getting into in order to, do you know what I mean? Like if you get this book and you don't enjoy it, I kind of think it's your own fault. You know what I mean? This is not hiding what it is. I've only got one like really negative review here. This is by Annalise Grassi. 1 star. This has got to be the stupidest book I've ever read. I mean, to me, I'm like, and 5 stars. Seriously, shittiest book about shit, literally about shit. I think the word shit is in every sentence. I don't think so, Annalise. And not only that, the editor that he is talking about throughout the book didn't do a very good job editing. Can when it should have been van, lowercase I for I, among others. But what do you expect for a shitty book? This is always something that comes up, and I've noticed a trend in this. People are very apt to talk about like grammar, spelling, usage errors in things that are self-published. But if you find one in like an advanced reader copy of like a major publisher's book, people don't say anything about it. Because I've read many, many, many books published by large publishing houses that still have typos in them. You know what I mean? It's like kind of the nature of the game, but also I think it's weird. It's like a way people talk about self-published books and like why they suck. But I'm like, I don't know that my rate of error is that much higher than like a professionally published book. And considering the resources I have available, you know what I mean? Oh, did I mention that this was about a guy and a crew trying to pull off a heist? And the narrator had to shit on a toilet in order for the heist to work. That's the premise of the story, but it was like the author had ADHD and got sidetracked on the shit part. Well, the whole movie is the shit part, Annalise, or the whole book. Just think of every heist movie ever made, roll it all together in a spoofy and shitty way, and you've got this book. Clearly, I did not like or enjoy this book. If it weren't for its amount of pages, 69, which the author finds amusing as well, I would have DNF'd this one. Thumbs down emoji, thumbs down emoji. However, if you are up for something extremely different and way, way, way out there, I would suggest reading it. All right, well, you know. Whatever. Whatever, man. Let's see. There was a very recent review. This is from Mark Dark Reader with 1,000 Young. I love Peter Dirk's writing, and now I have paid cash money for it. Previously, I merely freeloaded on his Lit Reactor articles and blog posts. He came to my attention with Pete's exhaustive review of Model Land, which I have not read, and neither have I read Model Land, although I own a copy. But I have listened to a series of podcast episodes about the book, the source material, not Pete's 50,000-word review of it. Who? Somebody else is doing a podcast about that shit? What the fuck? So it's basically like I've read both things. Anyway, Dirk's writing voice just speaks to me. I love his humor and his logic. And this is, I both enjoy and find that disturbing. In his heist book, the references to The Running Man and King's Quest. Quote, I never finished a single King's Quest game because those things were so goddamn impossible. Roberta Williams is on my most wanted list. I'd put her in a prison where she had to collect a series of items in order to escape. Put a banana in a fish? Why not? Those references sealed it for me. This is my tribe. I knew this already and was aware of this book's existence, but it wasn't until I saw the blurb, one thief holds the key to the perfect crime, only one problem, he holds the key in his butt, that I was 100% sold on taking the plunge without further delay. Anyway, with my cash money, I sprung for the paperback version because it was only a dollar more than the ebook, and I prefer actual things. Good for you. Like, I like when people get the print versions of them, too, because then they're, like, out in the world. And if they like them, then they have them. And if they don't like them, then it's, like, a problem. They have a chore now to get rid of it, and I find that abusing. Like many book offerings on Amazon, it's a print-on-demand deal, which always blows my mind. Like, this book didn't even exist until I paid for it. Wild. The best part is how adorable the book is. Like, it's an adorbs little baby book. For basically my whole life, I've conflated paperback with pocketbook, because why isn't a pocketbook a book that you put in your pocket? Come on, people. And so always felt that paperback should fit in pockets, and some do. I've owned many jackets with pockets large enough to slide a mass market paperback in there and have done so because I love having a book with me and having my hands and body free while moving through space. This book fits in just about any pocket, at least if you're a man, because man clothes have acceptable pockets while women's clothes mostly don't, which is a key reason why I'm not a woman. I couldn't deal with that. Y'all have my sympathy until the fashion industry stops being an asshole. Then he's got some pictures of it next to some other cute little books. What is this book about? It's basically the last three Mission Impossible movies, but if Tom Cruise just puked and shat all over the place. Hold on, that's exactly the last three Mission Impossible movies. This book really puts the shiza in heist. It's basically the adventures of Captain Underpants, but for adults crossed out juvenile people over 18. No, there are no superpowers, but neither are there in the first Captain Underpants book. I didn't know that. But there are toilets, just like in Captain Underpants. But if Captain Underpants just puked and shat all over the place. For all that I cringed at that one particular passage, which was horrible but then made funny by relentless pounding away at the gag like an obscene Kristen Schaal is a horse homage. Bottom line, I laugh my ass off multiple times across the book's scant few pages, and I expect to do the same with any of the author's other offerings, for which I gladly pay more cash money. Now, what's funny about that is so then this person also reviewed very recently another book of mine, Harold's Coming. This was the other one that I did the giveaway for, and has very mixed reviews, I think, as a result. So let's give you now the same reviewer's review of Harold's Coming, which is 4 stars. I come to you directly from checking the Where's Wally Wikipedia entry. I really wanted the controversy section from this story to be true. Hey, did you Canucks and Americans know that Where's Waldo is called Where's Wally in its originating country? This is just one reason why Wikipedia is the only good thing left on the internet. I mentioned the wiki search because the story's titular Harold is actually Waldo slash Wally, and with this fact, the cover art becomes significant and chilling. It's a thin disguise, but hopefully just the name changes enough that Dirk never got sued up the ass. I didn't. Dirk did not. So, yeah, thank you for your concern. The cover art for Harold's Coming, at least the ebook, is kind of a crowd with abstract vision of a crowd with a blood splatter, and then the print is like a black and white or a red and white striped book with some blood splatter on it. So it's like Waldo's shirt. So it's actually it kind of looks like an America thing, the print one, but whatever. I didn't know what to expect from this one. I've been pecking at Dirk's stories lately only to find that they're not all comedy. This one isn't, although it is still funny, but not in a ha-ha way, in a horrible way that makes me a bad person. Well, I fulfilled my mission of making somebody a bad person. Really, I only bought it because I needed to top up another Amazon order to get free shipping. Before you say I should just have a Prime subscription and get a free 2-day shipping on everything, do you know how long it takes to receive something without that shit? 3 days. Suck it, Bezos. Anyway, that could be the whole marketing campaign for Dirk's little books. They top off your order to get free shipping. Peter, you're welcome to comment here with your thoughts on my advertising genius. And here's my thought on that. That's what I'm going to put as a blurb on my next book. Peter Dirk's books do a good job of topping off your order to get free shipping. Best blurb I've ever had. At first pass, I thought the little book was full of copy editing errors, but on review, it was just the first-person narrator's casual voice with sentence fragments and whatnot, and eventually I clued into the fact that the website the narrator's friend used to order the boner-triggering object of the story was based in a not-English-speaking country. Once it gets into the meat of things, holy crap, it was chilling and terrifying and wonderfully bizarre. An excellent little taste of twisted horror. Very next is Kay Oliver with a 1-star review. This very short 13-page story was beyond bizarre. It has some pretty detailed imagery and sex galore. Neither are my cup of tea. This story felt bogged down in some places and rushed in others. Needs some work. Kay Oliver is the author of 11 books, so I guess she knows what she's talking about. I think this is the thing, is like, this is a very, yeah, okay, here's another 2-star. Short story, very odd, gory and provocative. Felt more effort could have been placed on building the characters as opposed to the detailed gore, as I felt I knew more about the friend than the main character. I think it's funny people write reviews like that, because it's such a short story. Bizarre seems to be on here a lot. This is a very bizarre read. Such a strange read. Not what I was expecting. Not a bad thing, but a bizarre story. Bizarre seems to be the key word for Harold's coming, if you're interested in that. Let's try, for some reason, Ghost Dick has been one of my more popular ones lately. So let's see if there's any new ones on here. Oh, yeah, okay. This is Natalia. I read the blurb and thought this looked like my kind of stupid book. Boy, howdy, was I right. The bit with the raccoon made me cackle like a maniac. My neighbors were probably staring at our shared wall and wondering what is wrong with me. Here's Patty. Okay, you may need a seriously quirky sense of humor to find this hilarious, because I kept reading selections out loud to my husband, who just stared at me, shook his head, and went back to reading the paper. But I thought this was brilliant. Brilliant. Ghost Dick Private Eye by Peter Dirk is brilliant. Am I the only one who kept thinking of Reba's son-in-law, Van, from the TV show? Anyway, to recap, laugh out loud, funny, 2 enthusiastic thumbs up. Got one more good one here. Click on the preview for this book. Go ahead, I'll wait. This is from Steve Balfour, 5 stars. Did you read the first paragraph and laugh so hard that your son stopped gaming, which he wouldn't even do if there was a tornado riding an earthquake through your apartment, and then came to see if you were all right because he thought you were crying, and he was right because you were, but it was crying from laughter? If the answer is yes, then you need to read this book. Mike is an inept paranormal investigator operating out of a Burger King restaurant, half-assing his way through ghost encounters and making some of the most inane and ludicrous life observations humanly possible. He is not very smart, but he doesn't let that get in the way of doing his job, and thankfully, stupid mayhem ensues. I've never read anything as funny as the ramshackle shenanigans of Ghost Dick Private Eye. Ramshackle shenanigans in my life. Consistently funny, like laugh out loud, tears streaming down my face, hilarious. Author Peter Dirk has truly created one of the most bonkers, off-the-wall, ridiculous reads with this offering. Like if Nicholson Baker and Sam Pink got drunk and made a love child together. And not only does it read fun, but you can tell the author had a blast writing this tale of utter lunacy, a dumb, funny masterpiece. I so want a sequel, or a short film adaptation, or a comic book series, or a pair of unisex briefs with a glow-in-the-dark Ghost Dick logo on the crotch. 3 pairs. 5 stars, absolute bestest. There you go. Well, those are just some of the many reviews of my many titles. I guess I wanted to, like, throw this out there, because I'm sure there are some people listening to this who, I don't talk about it a lot, so maybe you're unaware that, you know, writing books is a thing that I do, and it's a thing that I do. And what you'll find is there's a mix. I do some, like, really short. I do what I call goofy books. So that's like your Ghost Dick, your Ninja Sons, your Skeleton Army, your Heistest Heist Ever Heisted, A Heist Story of a Heist, Special Editor's Edition. And then I do some short, serious books, like My Mother's Silver Bowl and Harold's Coming. And then I do some longer, serious books, like Dear Runaway, and then I just have some other assorted crap. So, if you enjoy listening to this, you'll probably enjoy something in there. My suggestion to you would be to try either Ghost Dick or The Heistest Heist Ever Heisted, or try one of those really short ones, Harold's Coming, or My Mother's Silver Bowl, if you kind of like a horror story. And, you know, Pete's exhaustive review of Model Land seems to be my most popular. So it's the one I'm the most ambivalent about. But because we never get popular for the things we intend to, right? You just can't control that. That's life. That's what life is, everybody. You find your success in something that you didn't even really want to do. All right. We'll see you next time.